Usher's please, can you shut the door? Amen. You know, after this morning, I said we still have 6 days in this. We'll leave this place as manifested sons of and daughters of God. Amen. It's been powerful so far. All right, so welcome to our first afternoon session. And we have our first speaker here. One of the things, I said this on in the studio when we were starting Wolfpack, and I had a short interview. You know, the first time we did Wolfpack, which was Wolfpack then, in 2013. You know, it was a strong burden that God put in my heart. And what he said was, there has to be a reawakening of certain truths to the next generation, even in the present generation and the next generation of believers. And it was a very speaking, in fact, I said it at that time, I used every ounce of social capital I had anywhere under the sun for that meeting. In other words, he said, I want you to get all the fathers who used to go to Tulsa back then and listened to Brother Hagin, that's Kenneth Hagin, and then also get people who were direct graduates of Kenneth Hagin Bible School, who sat directly under his teaching, and bring them together to birth this conference. So we went out to look for fathers in the faith in this country, and also from Tulsa. And with the help of Rema Bible Training Center, they helped link us up then with the graduates of Rema Bible College and that. But as that was going on, I said that to say this, he said, I will also need you to build a conference, and he showed me something that Dr. Roberts did in Tulsa. And he said, where also, once you establish that, he said, it will also be a place of transition where young emerging voices within my body will be able to speak out across the nations of the earth. And so that had always been inside my heart. In fact, I must tell you this, when I was having a conversation with Bishop Waluke and I invited him this year, he looked at me and said, I thought you had switched it to the next generation. You know, I'd let the younger generation go on and do it. I said, no, we will continue with this, all right, the way we are doing it. So we have one of the voices, all right, that's why I went through all the story I went through. One of the imagined voices, all right, in the country. And then, once you've imagined in Nigeria, you have imagined globally too. It's the truth about the matter, all right? Nigeria is the pivot of what's going on today. That's why people that speak against the church in Nigeria, may you be moved to another country. Then you will know that the river is flowing in Nigeria, okay? And, you know, you'll know what God is doing. And so I want to introduce him, Apostle Emmanuel Eren of Celebration Church International, all right, for his first main session this afternoon.
Praise the Lord. Well, if that was for Jesus, please make it louder. Pastor Pojo, I love you, sir. Thank you for this honor. I'll never forget. And Pastor T, you look amazing. Under this spiritual atmosphere, I have to say, your drip is amazing. That's how we call it in our generation. Let's pray. Father, we honor you. Let your word flow freely, unhindered by any satanic force. Give us clarity and revelation. Move us to the next level. Reveal your plan to us. And let us never be the same again. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Please be seated. Again, I just want to say, this is one of the biggest honors of my life. I don't take it lightly. I recognize every man of God here present. I have the big honor of doing 3 sessions. So what I want to do is lay what I would call a doctrinal foundation, so that when we open up our spirits to receive from God, there will be proper context. I want to say this. I discovered that not every successful person knows how to replicate success. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you sat with a very wealthy person and you asked, how did you do it? And they couldn't tell you anything that could change your life. But I want to say, with all sense of humility, if you practice what I want to share with you today, every life here will change for the better. It is tested and proven. And because this is a hallowed platform, I also want to say this. You see, anyone who has done final year project will know that the first chapter is for introduction, your statement, you know, of your vision and, you know, and everything. And then the chapter 2 is called literature review. And in literature review, you must quote authorities, people who have spoken along the lines of your project topic. And it is only after your literature review that you can now move the needle and add what you have to add to the body of knowledge. I want to say that my sermon today is for consideration. This is like a project defense. There are many elders who are going to preach on this same platform. I want all that I'm sharing today to be considered. And if it is found true, I want to humbly request that we change our approach. And what I'm saying is not new. In fact, if you listen very carefully, Pastor Poju has been steering the ship. Listen, I want to recommend his final teaching last year, the one about pain and suffering. Please, go and listen to it again. And then listen carefully to his first session yesterday, where he talked about the fact that, unbeknownst to us, some of the way we have communicated the teaching of faith has produced disappointed people. All right? And that is why I want to start by what I have titled Faith 101, the premise of faith. Faith 101, the premise of faith. And I want to start with Luke chapter 1 from verse 5. This story encapsulates everything I want to establish. Luke chapter 1 from verse 5. It says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both were righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Everybody read verse 7 together with me. 1, 2, go. But they had no child. Stop there. This seems like a contradiction. They were both priests. I mean, if one of them was from a priestly lineage, that is noble enough, sacred enough. But not just the husband, both of them. She was of the daughters of Aaron. And if the Bible did not tell us that they were blameless, you would have thought, just like we do in charismatic circles, that this lack that is in their life must be on account of something lacking in their devotion. But the Bible was meticulous enough to tell us that that was not the case. They were blameless, they were righteous, they were not lacking in devotion, they were not lacking in favor, they were not lacking in anything. But they had no child. And I want to start by saying there are many people like Zacharias in the church, and we owe them an apology. Because sometimes we look at people like that with narrowness, and in our hearts we are judging them. And we are saying things like, if you only prayed more, if you only fasted more. You know, everybody is an expert when you're not the one going through the trial. Have you seen people who always have good advice? There is an understanding of faith, unbeknownst to us, that has produced an insensitive church. Just insensitive. Insensitive. Always having good advice. Someone lost his dad. He just said, cheer up. Do you know what the Bible says? Come on. Even Jesus wept. Before you say you are the resurrection and the life, show some empathy first. First weep with them. Do you understand what I'm saying? They did nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. They were blameless. They were righteous, walking in all the commandments of God. You know, last year, Pastor Pudge, you said something that touched me deeply. And I was very grateful for his boldness, because these are things we don't talk about. He talked about how somebody who was using crutches joined his church. And when he inquired, okay, what's your story? Where are you coming from? He said, well, when he had an accident in his former church, the church told him he has to leave because they are a miracle church, and because he's on crutches, it will seem like a contradiction of their message. And guess what? He was one of the top partners in that ministry. When he was given all the money, they didn't care the state of his leg. The story gets crazier because when he recovered, they wanted him back. So he just said, leave me where I am. This is not just a sermon on empathy. This is a sermon to answer the question, why? See, some of us have this secret question. Why? God, they said, if I pray, if I fast, if I speak, situations will change. You know I have been faithful. Why hasn't the situation changed? I've done everything. I've done everything. Starting from the case of Zacharias and Elizabeth, what happened? What was the issue? I'll tell you. And this is the premise of faith. Let me tell you something. You have to understand that faith is an intelligent system. It's like a vehicle. When you see a vehicle moving, you have to understand that there are many factors acting simultaneously that occasion the ability of that vehicle to move. So if you see a vehicle that is not moving and someone says, oh, the vehicle needs fuel, the person is not lying. It's true. The vehicle needs fuel, but it doesn't need only fuel. If there is no battery, the vehicle will not move. And if you put batteries, if there is no tire, the vehicle will not move. So all I'm telling you is this. The principles of faith, of confession, of prayer, of fasting, all are dependent on one overarching principle that needs to be reemphasized in the body of Christ. And that is my humble purpose today. And that overarching principle is purpose. Can you say purpose? So now, listen and never forget this. Do you know why Elizabeth had to remain barren for a while? Very simple. Because God had ordained that the child that will come from her loins will be the forerunner of the Messiah. And until the Messiah was going to be born, she had to wait. And that is why when the angel of God came to Gabriel, came to Mary to tell her she was going to have a child, he also mentioned Elizabeth, because the destinies were... Are you getting what I'm saying? And So, Elizabeth, despite her faithfulness, needed patience. There is an aspect of faith that needs to be emphasized. The patience aspect. The fact that you may be getting everything right, but God in His sovereignty has proposed that your life will go in a particular direction. See, the elementary understanding of faith that, listen, I just desire it and I just hold on to God is not exactly wrong. But you are supposed to desire what is within the confines of God's purpose for your life. If you don't know this, we will raise an impatient church. And because you cannot wait on God, you will go to Baba. There are some things we don't like to talk about. There are so many people who stand on the stage, share testimonies that are not from God. You know you went somewhere. You were impatient. Because you could not wait for John the Baptist, you went to the river. Now they gave you coconut head. And now you are wondering why he cannot hear word. He can't hear word. The devil always gives counterfeits. When we understand this, we will look through the Bible. Do you know, if you follow the precedence of scriptures, if there is any such delay in your life, you will rejoice. There is nobody who had any such delay that gave birth to an ordinary person. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Instead of complaining, instead of hiding your trouble, come on, you will start rejoicing. You will start. If I had any doubt that God is set to do something great through my loins, through my lineage, now because of the delay, I know. Be patient. Listen, this is the word of the Lord to someone here. You are not doing anything wrong. You are doing okay. In fact, you are right where God wants you to be. All things are working together for your good. It will make sense at the end. Don't give up. This is the word of the Lord to you. God sees you. God sees you. God sees you. God sees you. The premise of faith is purpose. Please help me preach that to three people. The premise of faith is purpose. The premise of faith is purpose. The premise of faith is purpose. The motive of faith is purpose. The objective of faith is purpose. Please write this down. The teachings of faith are true in principle, but must only be applied in purpose. The teachings of faith are true in principle, but must only be applied in purpose. Let me tell you something. Now, the reason you need to learn this is because when you're reading Mark 11:23, for instance, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, you don't doubt in your heart, you shall have what you say. Now, there is a temptation for you to go to your site, that land you have bought. Why clear the grass when you can just speak? He said, if you say and you don't doubt. This is why, you see, there is another school of the application of the word of God. And if you don't know it, you will run into trouble. You know, Google it, true life story. There is a man of God, or was a man of God. Coincidentally, I think his name was Daniel. That was part of the problem. He read in the Bible, Daniel went inside the lion's den and went straight to Ibadan Zoo. True life story. As he jumped like this, the lion. If it was Nollywood at the end, he said, to God be the glory. I'm sorry, it's not really something to laugh about. But I'm just wanting, see, so when you see it in the word of God, what you're supposed to get from it is the principle and apply it to your context based on your understanding of God's will for your own life in the now. Are you gaining clarity? This is important. Let me ask you a question we hardly ask. Or maybe you've not thought about it. Why was it a temptation for Jesus to turn stone to bread? Why was it a temptation? You've not thought about that before. Why was it a temptation? If you can feed 5,000 with 5 loaves, why is it a temptation to turn stone to bread? What's wrong? If you can turn water to wine, why can't you turn stone to bread? And why is it a temptation? If you understand what I'm about to share with you, you're going to get all that I'm teaching. This is the premise of faith. Well, Jesus told us why. We just didn't understand it, and I will explain it to you line by line as the Lord empowers me. Jesus said, because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know what he just did there? He created a scope to the execution of faith. That even if faith can do all things, you shouldn't try to do all things. The only thing I'm going to release my faith for is what I am convinced is the plan of God right now. That's what he's telling you. That the objective of faith is not self-preservation, is not self-exaltation. Faith is an instrument for consecration. Are you getting what I'm saying? That when the Lord tells me what to do, then with selfless ambition, do you understand what those words? With selfless ambition, I can now deploy my faith in that direction. That is why at some point in your life, it will be right to multiply 5 loaves to feed 5,000. At another point, the instruction is say. Let me tell you this. You see, when Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, he was quoting Deuteronomy. You know that, right? Deuteronomy 8. And let me give you the flow of thought. First and foremost, Deuteronomy, the name Deuteronomy actually means the reiteration of the law. And this is what was happening. This is the context. The people that God brought out of Egypt, they didn't follow God. So they circled around the wilderness and died. Now there is a new generation. And this is the prophetic picture of the church. There is a new generation, but God takes them to a vantage point from whence they can see the promised land. I'm not going to take you in yet. See the promised land. I will fulfill my promise. I'm going to make you rich. I'm going to take you into a land flowing with milk and honey. But learn the principles first. Some of you, this is why the money has not come yet. God is saying, I will still fulfill my promise. But if you enter the promise now, you will disappoint the body of Christ. There is some character we need to shed off. So let's go through the law. Let's do some Deuteronomy, the reiteration of the law. Learn the principles first. And so this is what the word of the Lord says. I led you through the wilderness, tested you with hunger, so that you will learn that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So sometimes, the delay you are experiencing is because God is preparing you. And so some people, because they learn faith without context, they want to jump their process and they fall into the snare of Satan. And see, people like that, the devil now comes to them and says, turn stone to bread. Hey. Because you are in the wilderness, preparing for ministry. The will of God in your life at that time is not the demonstration of the miraculous, but self-restraint. You will need that self-restraint when you're on the cross, knowing that you can pull off the nails and change your mind. That the greatest demonstration of power in Jesus' life wasn't the people he healed, was the self-restraint that he was on the cross and he didn't change his mind. You develop that kind of character in the wilderness, knowing that you can turn stone to bread, but refusing. Where is the school of faith? Addressing the scope of restraint, not just possession, but restraint. Where is that school? Have we practiced it? Come on, I get what I'm saying. See, one of the big mistakes we make is that we don't really know the devil. We think the devil only tempts us with immorality or with unbelief. But in the life of Jesus, we see that one of the temptations of the devil is to lure us to use faith outside purpose. That when it is the Holy Spirit that led you to the wilderness, the devil now comes and says, turn stone to bread, why are you fasting? Faith outside purpose will lead you into the snare of Satan. Faith outside purpose. Irresponsible faith. You see a man of God holding a microphone in a conference like this. You like the attention he's getting. Now you want his life. And you start releasing your faith for it. You have not stopped to ask God, first and foremost, did you even call me? And unfortunately, we think that the moment we have faith, God will just flow in that direction. It does not work like that. I am here to tell you, the premise of faith is purpose. Please, do you get it up until this point? Two things to learn about faith from Hebrews 11. Two things to learn about faith from Hebrews 11. Number one, faith is not hasty. Please, what did I call it? Please, I like response. What did I say? Listen, one of the most misunderstood phrases in the charismatic circles is that faith is now. It is not incorrect. It is misunderstood. I believe that the real motive and intent of that statement is so that you understand this. That everyone who comes to God must believe that he is and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Every time you come to God, you must expect everything that his power can do to happen in your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? So he's letting you know, because some people, they just come without expectation. Mm-mm. The protocol of his presence is this. He that comes to God must first believe he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So in that context, faith is now. But is that what that text is really saying? Hebrews 11:1? Really? Just read it. And you see that that's not what he's trying to say. Look at Hebrews 11:13. Look at Hebrews 11:13. This will do it for you. I don't need to speak too much. Look at Hebrews 11:13. Everybody read together loud as you can, want to go. These all died in faith, not having received the what? So was faith now for them? Everybody he mentioned did not receive the promise. How is faith now in that context when Abraham had to wait almost 3 decades for his child? Do you understand what I'm saying? Please, do you understand what I'm saying in proper balance? And I'm here to tell you, the fact that it did not happen immediately doesn't mean you were not doing the right thing. There is a patience aspect to faith. When you get home, just do this. In your Bible app, search faith, patience. Just search and see how many times those two words go hand in hand. They are Siamese twins. In the demonstration of faith, you will need patience. And I believe this generation needs patience. You know something? Someone called me years ago. And even our approach was very rude because she thought she was angry with God. And she said, I just called. I hear you hear from God. Please help me ask God. True life story. Help me ask God what I did to him. I said, what happened? She said, me and my friends have been praying for jobs. All of them have gotten jobs except me. The last job I applied for myself, I helped my friend apply. She got it, I did not get it. Help me ask God. She was angry. And then the Holy Ghost asked me to ask her one question. You want to know what he asked me to ask her? Simple question. When did you graduate? And he said, February this year. Yeah? I said, if I put my hand through this phone and slap you, you've waited 6 months, I should help you ask God. trained you? What are you learning? 6 months. Guess what? She was on NYSC. So even if she got the job, she can't accept it. We have raised an impatient generation. Impatient. 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 Result-oriented. Impatient. Insensitive. You know, I'll never forget. Long story. But there was a time I lost one of my cars. Thank God the Lord spared the life of the person driving it. The car somersaulted and was damaged beyond repair. An SUV. This was years ago. You know, that accident happened whilst I was preaching. I mean, my wife and I were on stage, we were just laughing, you know, and all of that. We had heard the person who was my PA at the time, who was driving the car, had been taken to the hospital. In our hearts, we were praying. Thankfully, there was no scar. Glory be to God. But now, this is the story. 1 week after, somebody sent me a picture of his car. Someone was driving and scratched the car. And he said, please, I don't know. I'm praying. Why am I going through a lot like this? You know? So, so, you know? So, you know, I looked at the message. I shook my head. Faith is not hasty. The person by your side might need this. Tell the person, calm down. Faith is not hasty. I have to move with the speed of light, you know. The way this time is moving. Have you noticed time is always slow when you're praying? You will pray, pray, pray like this. Check, 5 minutes. Ah! But when I did preach like this, it will all be running. Anyway, let's move on. So number one, faith is not hasty. Number two, faith is consecration. Listen, if anyone asks you for the definition of faith, never forget this. Faith is yielding to God's plan for your life in the now. That's what faith is. Faith is not trying to get God to bless what you are doing. It is doing what God is blessing. Faith is consecration. Are you ready for what I'm about to show you? You know, the Bible tells us that Abraham got his child Isaac by faith. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You know, we are reading Hebrews 11. In Hebrews 11, 11, the Bible says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive. You know, these are the texts that we emphasize all the time. But look at verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when tested, offered up Isaac. Listen, so he got Isaac by faith. Are you ready for this? He got Isaac by faith and was willing by the same faith to offer up Isaac. Faith is not measured only by what you can gain by it, but by what you are willing to lose for it. So at the end of the day, it's not about children, it's about the will of God. Faith is consecration. It's not using it to advance your life so that everybody will know God is faithful. It's not for self-exaltation. It's not for self-preservation. It is yielding to the will of God. Have you noticed? Maybe unconsciously, every time we are reading Hebrews 11, we focus only on the first part. We focus only on the first part. Let's run through it as quickly as possible. Let's start from verse 32, because it typifies what I'm saying. What more shall I say? For time will fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak. You know Barack Obama? I'm just playing. Not that Barack. And Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violent fires, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weaknesses were made strong, became valiant in battle, torn to flight the armies of the aliens. Hi. Women received their dead to life again. You know, this is the part we focus on. And with selective amnesia, we refuse to read the rest. What did he say next? Read it loud. 1, 2, go. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. You know, there was a time in this country when you hear that a church was raised in the north, burned to the ground. You think, didn't they pray? Because you think the man who quenched, stopped the mouth of lion is the only one who has faith. The Bible tells you that the ones who were tortured not accepting deliverance, they are also heroes. Are you listening to me? They are also heroes. Aye. That they may obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, of chain and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn in two. I know many of you never got to this part. You stopped at verse 1. Now, faith. Faith is not only measured by what you can gain by it, but what you are willing to lose for it. And so, how do I then soar on the wings of faith? Just understanding what I've been emphasizing. You know, in Romans chapter 9, the Bible tells you in verse 15, "For I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, compassion on whom I will have compassion." It is not of he that wills, nor of he that runs, but of God that shows mercy. I'm confirming your suspicion. I know you've been observing. There are some people that don't pray more than me that are blessed. Now, why do they have these results? I'm telling you that prayer and fasting is efficacious within the confines of God's template for your life. And so if you are looking at other people, you want to replicate their own templates, it is like a lion trying to swim, doing the work of a fish. So the first focus of faith is to say, God, what is my path? What is your plan for my life? Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? Because it's not of he that wills, nor of he that runs. You know, the example he gave earlier, he talks about Isaac, Esau and Jacob. If the children were already born, you will say, Jacob had some mysteries that he didn't tell us. But the Bible says they were not yet born. They had not done good or evil. But that the purpose of God, according to election, my stand, not of he that wills. This is the teaching of purpose. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is teaching of faith. The premise of faith. He said, the older shall serve the younger. When we understand this, we will see people that God is blessing and we will thank God for their lives genuinely. I don't want to be anyone else. I embrace God's template for my life. See, because other ministries are planting branches doesn't mean you are supposed to. And you should be thankful that when you did things outside the will of God, they failed. You should be thankful. Because if you succeeded, you would have lost your destiny. It is the mercy of God that you were frustrated, so that you can go back to the drawing board and say, I was doing something wrong. Everybody is traveling out. You say you want to travel. Have you stopped to ask God? Have you stopped to ask God first? So this is how faith works. Not just by exuding divine energy. You first stop and ask, should I pursue? Will I overtake? Then the moment God says, go. Are you getting what I'm saying? There is a kind of confidence. You cannot be stopped because I was on my own. I am not out for my own interest. See, there are some people, if you try them, you are in trouble because they didn't send themselves. Are you getting what I'm saying? Abraham was on his own. It was God who took him out in the cool of the day and said, look at the stars. It wasn't ambition. He didn't look at anybody. It was God who said, this is my plan for your life. And when Abraham believed God, it was counted unto him for righteousness. Many of us, our belief is not righteousness. It is covetousness. Are you getting what I'm saying? When God is the one who initiates the vision, that is how you now demonstrate your faith. God must initiate. You don't look by covetousness and see other people's car. You don't know their process. You don't know their process. Maybe you have been unhappy because the premise was wrong. The premise is purpose. What I'm saying, scan throughout the Bible and see every man God used was like that. Paul said, I have learned both to abound and to abase. I know your own definition of faith is above only. You want to know a real man of faith? There is a sense of indifference. I just want God's will for my life. Abound, I can do all things. Are you getting what I'm saying? See, so when God tells such a man in whose heart ambition is dead to go, you can't stop him. You cannot stop him. When you understand this, you will understand that your problem is not... Some of you don't pray, but you don't understand. So, see, for some of you, you actually need the elementary understanding of faith. You need to speak the word, pray, fast. But if you have been praying, fasting, and things are not changing, go back to the drawing board. Consider what I'm saying. Did God really send me? You think it's not happening because you didn't pray enough, you may be wrong. Throughout the Bible, the people who saw miracles, it wasn't exactly their faithfulness like that too. When the children of Israel were in front of the Red Sea, they were grumbling. Were they praying? They were grumbling. That's against the elementary teachings of faith. The miracle still happened. See, chances are you have more faith than the children of Israel. They saw more. Do you know what it means for an ocean to divide? Do it for swimming pool. See if you will not trend. If you divide swimming pool, CNN will carry it. You divide an ocean. Do you know, even if God should divide an ocean, do you know it's another step of faith to enter? Again, see, don't mind me, I have a vivid imagination. I was like, so first and foremost, it must have been deep. You are thinking swimming pool, that's why. It must have been deep. You are entering like this. This was the first aquarium in the world. The walls were congealed to the left and to the right. And listen, when you are inside, Pharaoh tries to follow and is drowning. Ha! Can you go fear now? And it will take you at least 2 days to get to the other side. Hey! Guess what? They got to the other side, they were still grumbling. There is nobody like those children of Israel. You think your faith is weak. Go and read your Bible. Your faith is strong for wedding day. One thing I've discovered. When you discover what God wants to do, and you align yourself with it, faith becomes easy. You might be struggling because you are mechanically trying to force the hand of God. Plug yourself to what God is doing. Plug yourself. When God has determined to do something, even things that should disqualify you normally will not disqualify you. Let me tell you one more story. Maybe you've not thought about this. The angel of the Lord came to Abraham's house. He said, according to the time of life, you will have a child. What did Sarah do inside? She laughed. According to the principles of faith, shouldn't that disqualify her? Instead of God saying, now you have hindered me, I cannot move. God said, because you laughed, the child will be called laughter. It means that Isaac will be a symbol of the faithfulness of God in spite of your unbelief. Because it's the purpose of God according to election. When God is ready, are you listening to me? Ah, my God. We're talking about soaring. I want to introduce you to a realm of effortless rhythms of grace. It can be effortless. This is why some people are finding it easy. Are you getting what I'm saying? See, what makes Pastor Poju, is not just his prayer life. It's not just his fasting life. It's that God, in his sovereignty, chose to give him that assignment. If you pray like him, fast like him, you will not see the same results because it's not your destiny. So that blanket teaching of faith has made people sick by covetousness what people got by consecration. Did you hear? Should I repeat myself? Many church people are like Lot, not like Abraham. They just don't know. Yeah. Abraham wanted land by strategy. He looked, this part is green. And then he released his faith for it. Abraham was on his own. In the place of prayer, God said, lift up your eyes as far as your eyes can see. And guess what? To commemorate what God said, he built an altar. See, let me tell you something. The results you are coveting in other people's lives, there are altars backing it. You don't know the covenant they have with God. You don't know. You are judging from the external. See, Lot thought he could take that land because he didn't know altars were backing it. This is why Abraham was secure. You want it? Take it. Take it if you can. Because you don't know the spiritual infrastructure behind people's success. You want to imitate what doesn't concern you. Try it. Try it. Try it and see if it will work. Do you know that the same land that God told the Lot to come out of without looking back, Abraham was looking at it. Go and read your Bible. It's forbidden for you because it was not for you in the first place. Faith is consecration. Please, are you learning anything? Look at all the men of God that God ever used. There was a sense of indifference in the first place. Even Abraham tried to persuade God, like, let Ishmael live before you. God said, no, I will give you a son from your own loins. So when it is God who dramatically takes you out, you were not ambitious. You were not looking at anybody. Are you getting what I'm saying? How do I translate that to the international audience? It's God that gave you. Sorry, this is Wolfpack. I have to. Please, are you getting this? This will change your life. Oh. You want to see power like never before? Just do what God is doing. Moses did not watch a superhero movie and say, I will bring out God's people from Egypt. That's not what happened though. He had a burning bush encounter. He tried to excuse himself. Me, go to Pharaoh. Who will I say sent me? I am that I am. What about the children of Israel? How will they believe me? I will go with you. I cannot speak. Don't worry. Aaron will be your prophet. He was giving excuses. He's in this generation that people try to persuade God to call them. It's in this generation. In the Bible, everybody was escaping. Jeremiah, before I formed you in the belly, I ordained you to be a prophet. See, that was the first time pidgin language was used. Jeremiah said, ah, go and read it. Jeremiah 1:6. I'm telling you, Jeremiah 1:6, he said, ah, I cannot speak, I'm a child. You see? This is the etymology of ah. Nigerians are biblical, I'm telling you. He said, ah, I cannot speak, I'm a child. It was God who said, say not that you are a child. You, your confidence came from looking in the mirror saying, I can do it. It can be done. That's the, you see the difference? It was God who told Jeremiah, don't talk like that. You exalted yourself. You wore shoulder pad. It can't be the same thing. Go back and ask the Lord, did you send me? Should I go? Some of you, there are some things you should cancel. Some ministries you should close down. Let me tell you something you probably never noticed about Joseph. Because I'm talking about men of God, Abraham, Jeremiah, Joseph. I want to show you a pattern. Are you not surprised? Joseph never challenged God once. That this is not the dream you showed me. Have you thought about that? You told me that my brothers will bow to me. What am I doing in the pit? Why am I a houseboy? Why am I in prison? He never challenged God once. I am telling you, this indifference is a common thread throughout the Bible. And by the way, that's why we enter problems. See, let me tell you something. The thing about faith is this. It takes supernatural intelligence to even pray according to the will of God. You don't know what to pray for as you ought. If you were Joseph, what will you pray? You will pray, Lord, Lord, deliver me from Egypt. Let me return back to my father's house. That's what you will pray. So let me tell you something. The reason why this purpose perspective is important is because you cannot even see far from beyond your feet. You don't even know what God's plan is. And guess what? If you are like Joseph and you pressure God, because God always deals with us according to the level of your faith, God can grant you. Oh yeah, go back to Jacob. And you will go back thinking God has delivered you. Allow God. You want to know how to pray? And this is what we're going to pray in the few minutes we have. In Acts chapter 13, this is that meeting for you. You pray without an agenda. See, sometimes, forget your preconceived notion. Forget what you think should happen in your life at this time. Forget where you think you should be. And just praise God without an agenda. As they minister to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas. So listen, they began to pray and fast because God said, are you getting it? So it is purpose that gave their faith direction. This is the biblical order. When you do this, you will see speed. You will now discover a realm of ease actually existed all along. Are you getting this? Are you being blessed? Because when you permutate, you will always get it wrong. You'll be looking at others. You'll be moving with so much envy. Sorry, sirs, because I like your suit, I want to use you for an illustration. Two of you, please come, sir. Now, I preached this somewhere before, but it's very consistent with what I'm about to say. So, I want to ask you this. You know, the brothers of Joseph made the error that I'm telling you about. Sorry, sir, please move this way. They made the error that I'm telling you about. Okay, because of the lighting here, please come up. I want to make sure you get this. Now, the brothers of Joseph made the error that I'm telling you about. When Joseph had a dream, they were envious of Joseph. Why isn't it us that God said people will bow to us? And they began to hate Joseph because of that. And it's just a reflection of how limited we are in our thinking. I can prove to you that God loved the brothers of Joseph more than Joseph. Are you ready? Which will you rather be? Joseph, at the age of 17, was sold into slavery. And it took 13 years of suffering before he became prime minister. When he became prime minister, see, the brothers of Joseph were with their father, enjoying. Jacob was a rich man. When there was famine, they went to the only place in the world where there was food to find that their brother was prime minister. And the brother had forgiven them. Who will you rather be? Joseph went through all of that. He was a houseboy. See, they wrongfully accused him. Do you know how painful that is? He was in prison. He went through all of that. These ones did not suffer a day in their life. They went to the only place there was food, and God had already worked on Joseph's heart to forgive. Who would you rather be? Let me also prove to you. Listen, because of all that Joseph experienced, you would have thought that Joseph would be the lineage through which Christ will come. Which lineage? Who did Christ come through? Are you getting it now? So listen, God blessed Joseph as a servant to preserve. Are you getting what I'm saying? To preserve what God wanted to do in Judah specifically and in the whole lineage. That's why God, see, many of the people that you are envious of, God raised them because of you. You don't even know. Thank you very much. You don't even know. Sometimes, we don't know what God is doing. What if you just trusted Him? Let go of strife. Let go of competition. Let go. Be genuinely happy for people. And then focus on God's assignment for your life. Focus on it. David also almost made the same mistake. When you walk with God, you know that initiative is often a disadvantage. God looked from his palace, said, I have this big mansion, and the ark of God is out in a shed. I will build God a house. Even the prophet was carried away, thought it was a good idea. God later spoke to the prophet, go and tell David, you want to build me a house? You want to build me? You think that's a good idea? You want to build me a house? You were a shepherd boy, following few sheep around. I took you, made you a captain. You know what God said to him? He said, I will build you a house. You don't know who God is. So, your intelligent ideas that you think are a demonstration of faith, you might even be sinning. Oh my God, I don't have enough time to talk about this. Sin is not just immorality. It is acting out of purpose. There were angels that fell, not just because of immorality, but because they did not keep their first estate. Purpose determines your boundaries. There is no moral, there is nothing morally wrong in building the Tower of Babel. Why was it a sin? Because God said spread. Are you getting what I'm saying? You need to understand how big a deal it is to act out of purpose. Even if you succeed, you're in trouble. If God didn't do something, Babel would have been a success. So when God corrected David, he now realigned. He said, who am I? What is my father's house? This is how to pray. You want to soar? This is, who am I? What is my father's house? All that you are doing is because you want to make a name for yourself. It is because of what you want to do with Israel. I recognize that I'm only privileged to be a part of your plan. Therefore, do as you have said. Hey, this is how heroes of faith prayed. Do as you have said. I'm only privileged to be a part of your plan. Do as you have said. I'm going to give you a prayer to pray. Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 3. The reason you're going to pray this prayer from your heart is because one of the biggest things God can give you in a meeting like this is clarity. Sometimes you just come with your objectives and you want to use your faith to execute those objectives. God, What should I even want? Open my eyes. What should I want? In Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, the first part emphasizes the common understanding of prayer that we have. Call to me, I will answer you. That's elementary prayer. But I will also show you great and mighty things which you do not know. In the elementary version of prayer, you ask what you think you need. But there are things about yourself you don't even know. Because when Saul is going to desire something from God, Saul is going to say, Lord, my father's donkey is missing. Please find it for me. Our desires are even petty. We don't understand it. God doesn't want to return your donkey. He wants to make you king. Are you listening to me? Please welcome the woman of God. Are you ready to pray? Please stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Prayer number one. Pray it loud and fervently. Father, deliver me from ungodly ambition. Pray. Deliver me from ungodly ambition. Ungodly ambition. I lied to myself. That is a demonstration of faith. But it was covetousness. Deliver me from ungodly ambition. I repent of it. I cast it aside. And I surrender my heart to consecration. Deliver me. 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 In Jesus' mighty name we pray. One more prayer. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me. Lord, show me what to do. Show me what to do. Show me what to prioritize. Show me where to go. Don't let me go in my own wisdom. Don't let me go in my own strength. Don't let me go in my own wisdom. Show me, show me, show me. Show me. Show me. Show me. You said, come to me. I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Show me. Show me. Show me. In Jesus' mighty name, we've prayed. I pray for you that this meeting will be a burning bush of consecration. And every desire that is not God's word will be exposed and will be destroyed. God is raising an army of consecration in this place. A breed with no greed. Asandara balatakaya. I said we are a breed with no greed. We want for us only what God wants. Anything God cannot give me, let me never have. Anywhere God cannot take me, let me never go. I pray that by clarity, God is launching you to an effortless rhythm of grace. Where you have been struggling and flapping your wings, it's time to soar. I said it's time to soar. I said it's time to soar. Say aloud, amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.